Last week, we spoke of the fact that Christ came to become the perfect sacrifice for us, for our salvation. 2 Corinthians says that he who made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we may become the righteousness of God. And we were speaking in the context of this great exchange that took place on the cross, that Christ became our sin so that we may become the righteousness of God. Our sin was imparted into him so that his righteousness could be imparted into us. And through that sacrifice, we were made holy before God. This great exchange that took place, John the Baptist stood up and he said something powerful about this exchange. He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." And that sacrifice of Christ was sufficient once and for all. It was complete, the complete work of God's salvation through Christ's sacrifice on the cross, not just to cover our sins like in the old covenant, but to take it away. And we spoke about the different kinds of sacrifices made under the old covenant, the blood that could only cover our sin, the blood of bulls and goats, and then the blood of Jesus that was completely different. And the big difference between the old covenant and the new covenant is that the blood of bulls and goats could not take away sins, but the blood of Jesus takes away sin. And how it deals with us in the presence of God, our sins are not covered, it is taken away. And if your sins are taken away, you are free. And you can come into God's presence without fear of punishment or guilt because your sins are taken away. The sins and the penalty, the consequence of your sins was exchanged. So not only did Jesus take our sins, he also took our penalty. And this is so important because so many times we're afraid to come into God's presence because we are fearing punishment. But the punishment that we deserve was placed on him and he was punished so that we can be free. The blood of Jesus takes away our sins. And this is so powerful. Hebrews chapter 10. And this was not because we deserved it or earned it through our works. It was through grace because God loved us. It was grace. It was not our works. It was his works. And it's based on that we stand. And the way we appropriate this amazing gift is through faith. And therefore, Romans 8 verse 1 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." And this is where I want to continue. The very fact that Jesus has come through the blood of Christ, not the blood of bulls and goats that could not take away sins, but the blood of Christ that took away our sins. And because our sins are taken away, there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus and who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. There is a qualification to this no condemnation. There is a qualification. The qualification is you have to be in Christ. And then it actually clarifies it even further. The result of that, the effect of that, is that you no longer walk according to the flesh the way you used to, but you now walk according to the Spirit. There's an exchange that took place, and an exchange, also a change in the way we live our lives. And in one sense, one of the exchanges that took place was our captivity to sin and the power of sin was exchanged for his freedom from sin. And it's about that exchange from captivity to freedom that I want to talk about, because Christ did not just come to take away our sins and the consequence of our sins. He also came to deal with the power of sin, the cause of sin in us. And this is so powerful because we are no longer, because Christ have not just taken away our sins and the consequence of our sin, he has also come to deal with what caused our sin. And this is so powerful because this is where our real freedom lies. Our freedom, any Christian sadly lives as if salvation only dealt with the sins that I have committed and the consequences of those sins. And we still live as if that what caused the sin is still alive in us. You see, Jesus came, remember Hebrews chapter 10 spoke about the fact that under the old covenant, the sacrifices had to be repeated endlessly year after year because it couldn't make perfect those who drew near and worship. It couldn't make them perfect because the blood of bulls and goats couldn't take away sin. And it's not just speaking about the things that we have committed. It speaks about the root cause in us. You see, we are sinners not because we sin. No, we sin because we are sinners. We were born sinners. We were born with a sinful nature. And this sinful nature in us causes us to sin. It is when the sinful nature in me manifests that I sin. And Jesus didn't just come to deal with the fruit of the problem. He came to deal with the root of the problem. So that I can be completely free from sin. Not just the consequence of sin, but the power of sin. And it's about this that I want to speak about because there are so many Christians that live in the freedom from the consequence of sin, the fruit of the sinful nature, but they do not live in the freedom of the power of sin. And if Jesus only came to deal with the fruit of sin, his sacrifice wouldn't have been finished once and for all. It would have been continually had to be offered because we continually sin. But there was a big difference between Christ's sacrifice and that of the Old Testament. It did not just come to deal with sin and its consequences, the fruit of the problem. It came to deal with the root of the problem, which is the power of sin, the sinful nature in me. It's about this that I want to speak about, because in dealing with both of it, I no longer have to walk according to the flesh, but I can now walk according to the Spirit. In the past, it was impossible for me to walk according to the Spirit because I was bound by the power of sin. And even though I tried so hard, I could not. But Jesus came to set me free, not just to deal with the fruit. He came to deal with the root of sin. And sadly, many Christians still understand salvation as the forgiveness of sin and not the freedom of sin. And it's about this that I want to start speaking about this morning, because so many still live with an old covenant understanding in our reality with the struggle with sin. We still live in that old covenant understanding that even though there is atonement, I am still bound. I cannot be free. It can only be covered for me. But no, Jesus came to do so much more. He came to set you free. To set me free. In John 8 verse 31 we read, Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The Jews responded and saying, "We are Abram's descendants and we have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will make me free?" Jesus responded and saying, "Most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave to sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." How powerful is that? Jesus said, "You will know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." But how can you say we are not free? Well, if you commit sin, you are still a slave to sin. But if I set you free, you shall be free indeed. And it's this freedom that I want to speak about this morning. Not just the freedom of the consequence of sin, but the freedom from sin itself. Because that's what Jesus came to set you free. He did not come to partially set you free. He came to set you free completely. It's amazing, salvation. It's amazing. And the aim of salvation is to make us free. And that freedom is based on the truth and knowing the truth. Because Jesus says, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." And this is where I want to start with this journey. Because if you do not know the truth, you will continue in sin. Because without the truth and the knowing of the truth, you will still be a slave. But Jesus says you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. So I'm going to start off just with the truth. I'm not even going to try to start to explain how this works. In weeks to come, we'll get to how this practically works because this is amazing. But I, this morning, just want to talk about the truth. Just the truth, not the lie. Because the devil will want you to believe that the sacrifice of Christ was not sufficient to set you free. It was only sufficient, like in the old covenant, to cover your sin but not to make you free. And you are still a slave. You cannot escape the power of sin as hard as you may. And I want you to try through your good works to prove to me. It's all the devil wants. And I want to declare to you the truth is, wherever the Son sets free is free indeed. And if you know that truth, it will set you free. It will set you free. And if we don't know the truth, it leads to two extremes. It leads to two extremes in church. We either fall back into a religious mindset where we try to earn our salvation through works. We try to deal with sin in the old covenant mindset. And we continue as we continue in sin, but now we want our good works to outbalance our sins. Have you noticed that? If you don't understand the truth, even though you're in the new covenant, you live as if you're in the old covenant and you're trying to earn your salvation through works. And you try to outbalance your sin with good works. It's very sad to see. So many Christians still live with that old covenant mindset. And the consequence of that is guilt, not freedom, guilt. You know you've been forgiven of your sins and the consequence of sins, but as much as you try, you still keep on doing it. So now you're trying to do more good works than bad works so that it can outbalance the bad, so that you can feel at peace. And the consequence of this struggle, of this not knowing the truth in its fullness, is that you still struggle with guilt. And you cannot be free. Satan loves that. He loves that. And then the other extreme, I mean, Romans 3 verse 20 says, "For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes the knowledge of sin," not the freedom of sin, simply the knowledge of sin. Through your good works, you cannot be free from sin. And the law only came to expose what sin is, not freedom from sin. The other extreme is that we use grace as a cover for our sin. Almost, again, an old covenant mindset where we still continue in sin, but it does not matter if we sin because grace protects us from the consequence of sin. So we still live as if we are not free from the power of sin. We still live in sin. We continue in sin, but we believe that the grace of God covers our sin. So it doesn't matter if I sin. So even if I continue to sin, it's not a problem. And we still live as slaves. And then all of a sudden, there's no need for repentance or change or living a holy life because I'm covered by grace. But you know what? You're still a slave because you still sin. The only thing that you've done is you have a covering that kind of justifies the fact that you're still a slave. It's the other extreme. And all of a sudden, there's no need for repentance or the pursuit of holiness. And Satan loves that. He loves that because you're still a slave. Romans 6 verse 1 to 2 says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who have died to sin live any longer into it?" No, Jesus didn't just come to cover the consequence of sin. He came to deal with sin. He came to deal with it once and for all, and it's finished. The complete work of Christ on the cross. It's amazing. So today we are just going to take the first step, and we're going to state the truth as the first step to freedom. Next time we're going to work through the application. The first step is to know the truth. Before you can be free, you need to know the truth. "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And they answered him, "We are Abram's descendant, and we have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free. And then Jesus answered, saying, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave to sin. Therefore, verse 36, therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. I'm going to say the first step of truth is that the truth, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. The second thing is, if you are still sinning, you are a slave to sin. But Jesus has come to set you free. And whoever the Son sets free is free indeed. That is the truth. That is the truth. We all inherited a sinful nature. We were born sinners through Adam's sin. Remember? We know this. We're all good Christians. You don't need to teach a child to sin. Have you noticed? They do it instantly. You don't need to teach your children how to sin. They know. Because we were all born that way. We sin because we are sinners. We are not sinners because we sin. No. There's something wrong within us. We were born with a sinful nature that drives us selfishly to do what is best for us. We were born sinners. And if these chairs are my sin, I'm bound to them. Because this is my sinful nature. And even though I try to get free from my sin, as hard as I try, I cannot. Jesus didn't just come to cover that. He came to set me free. The problem is I've got this in me that drives me to sin, and as hard as I may try to stop sinning, I cannot. That was the old covenant. But Jesus came to do something amazing. He came to set us free. So we inherited the sinful nature from Adam, and we used to be slaves to sin because we were born as sinners. And we sinned because we are sinners. And we were helpless, and as hard as we might try, we cannot be free. Because there's something inherently wrong with us. It's this nature that keeps me bound. And I cannot be free. Now the law has no power to set me free. That's our second problem. We have the sinful nature that drives us to sin, and as hard as we try, we keep on sinning. And then came the law. The law came, and the law told me what sin is. Because I didn't even know what it was. So I was stuck with the sin within me, but I didn't even know what it was. And then the law came. You know what the law did? The law told me what sin is. You know what? Lying actually is sin. The law didn't come to set us free. The law just came to tell us how bad it is. This is what sin is. The law. And the law said, you know what? Unless you are perfect, you cannot be justified. So you got to try through your best works to be free. So if I want to be free from this, I need to stop doing that. But I can't stop doing that because I have a sinful nature. So the law did not come to set me free. Come to tell me what sin is and how bad it is, the state that I'm in. And no matter how hard I try, I cannot. If I try to go this way, I'm stuck. If I try to go this way, I'm stuck. Romans 7 says, what shall we say then? That the law is sin? By no means. Yet if it had not been for the law, I would not have known sin. For I would have not known what it is to covet if the law did not say, you shall not covet. But sin, seizing the opportunity through the commandment, produced in me all kinds of covetousness. Apart from the law, sin lies dead. But I once lived apart from the law, but now when the commandment came, sin became alive and I died. And the very commandment that promised life proved to be death in me, or to me. See, that's what sin did. It did not come to set me free. It simply came to show me what it was. And as I knew what it was, this increased in my life all of a sudden. Romans 8 continues and it says, for what the law could not do, though it was weak through the weakness of our flesh. You see, the law came not to set me free because of the weakness of the flesh. The law said, this is what sin is, and the way out is to stop sinning through good works. You must be perfect. But the law could not, even though it promised freedom, could not set me free because of the weakness of the flesh. So we were in a very difficult position. The law says stop sinning, but because of the weakness of the flesh, I cannot. The righteous requirement, the standard of God that the Lord produced, could not be fulfilled in me because of the flesh. Yes, and then God did something amazing. He said, this is my son, what the law required could not make them perfect. So I'm going to send you. Romans 8 continues, for what the law could not do and it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh on the account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Here it comes again. There are therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to something else, the Spirit. And the law could not set me free. It was powerless because of this. So Jesus came to become this, to set me free from this. You see, you can't be free from one without the other. It doesn't help you set me free from that and I still keep on doing that. But Christ came to do something amazing. Came to set us free. You see, under the old covenant, we were under the law as the measuring stick for holiness. Under the old covenant, the measuring stick for holiness was the law. And through effort and works, you had to try and achieve righteousness. But you know what? You can't do that. Because of the power of sin, it was impossible. But Christ came not to abolish the law. He came to fulfill the law. And through his fulfillment of the law, he became the new measuring stick. My righteousness is no longer measured by the adherence to the law. My measuring stick is now whether I'm in Christ or not. So I'm no longer under the law. I've been set free from the consequence of sin. And the measuring stick of my righteousness is no longer my adherence to the law, but the measuring sticks of my righteousness is the exchange that took place on the cross. He became my sin so that I can become his righteousness. And if you are in Christ, you are God's righteousness. And the standard is being fulfilled, not in your works, but his works. It's amazing. So I'm no longer a slave to the consequence of sin. And the measuring stick of sin is no longer my good works, but his works and my faith in that. So I've been set free from that. But you see, I still have a problem here. I've been set free from the law and its consequence, but I still sin. Christ did not come abolish the law. The law still reflects God's standard. But a new measuring stick for righteousness. But he not only came to set me free from that, he came to set me free from this. Because he died once and for all. He's not dying every day anymore. He's not dying every time you sin. No, he's done it once and for all because he did something else. Came to break the power of sin and death. Heard that before? Death speaks about the consequence of sin. This sin speaks about the power of it. Came to destroy both. So that you are not partially free, but free indeed. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, something has happened. You know the old nature, the old man, the sinful nature that kept you bound because you were in Adam, you were born in Adam, and you had a sinful nature, and it doesn't matter how hard you tried, you could not escape the fact that you still sin because you were a slave to sin, as hard as you may try. That's Romans 7 for you. The things that I want to do, I don't do, and the things I don't want to do, I end up doing. You know what? You couldn't escape because you were born a sinner. And that's what sinners do. As hard as you try, you cannot escape it. But then Christ came to do something, not just to deal with the consequence of what you have done. He's come to deal with the root of why you've done it. He's come to kill the old man, the sinful man. And therefore, if anybody is where? In Christ. He has become? The old has become new. So this old sinful man, it's done away with. That's Romans 6 verse 6. It says, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be. And what is the consequence of that? You're no longer slaves of sin. So Jesus did not just come to deal with the sin and the consequence of it. He came to deal with the root of it, the thing that caused it. Your old man, your sinful man, and he took that sinful man. He did not just become sin. He took your sinful man with him to that cross. See that old sinful man controlled by the sinful nature? I'm taking it with me. Not just the things that you've done, but the very thing that caused it, your sinful man. I'm taking it with me to the cross, and I'm going to nail it there. And it's going to die with me so that you can be free. You can be free, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that you should no longer be slaves to sin. Because whoever the Son sets free, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. In Christ, you are no longer a slave. I have been set free in Christ. But now that I'm free, I'm not free to do whatever I want. You are free, but you are not free to do whatever you want. You are free to follow Him. You see, in the past, I couldn't, even though I wanted to follow Jesus. I couldn't because of the power of sin in me. And as hard as I tried, I couldn't. I wanted to follow Jesus, but I couldn't. Then Jesus said, come on, I'm going to make you free so that you can follow me. But you are not free to go back here. You're not free to be a slave again. Because that's not why I set you free. I've not set you free to go back to the world. I've set you free to come to my kingdom. I am now free to follow Jesus. And for the first time, I'm free from the power of sin so that I can be obedient to God. You see, here I tried to be obedient to Him, but I failed because of the power of sin. Now I'm set free so that I can be obedient to Him. It's amazing. But remember this, you are not free to do whatever you want. You are free now to be obedient because from now on you can. It's a huge difference. It's a huge difference. But the sad thing is you can also choose to continue to live in sin. But if you choose in your freedom to continue here, sooner or later, before you know it, you'll become a slave again. If you choose to use your freedom here, don't be fooled. You will become a slave again. And the consequence of sin is, so don't use your freedom for unrighteousness. Don't be fooled. God is not mocked. You are free. And because of that freedom, we choose to continue to follow Him. Romans 6 verse 15 says, what then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? Puts it so powerfully. He says, certainly not. Do you not know to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey? You are that one slaves who you obey, whether sin leading to death or obedience leading to righteousness. You are free, but you choose who you're going to follow. And if you choose to follow sin, you become a slave again to sin. But if you choose to follow God, if you choose to follow righteousness, you will be a son of God. Do you not know to whom you present yourselves to obey? You are the one slaves who you obey, whether it's sin leading to death or obedience leading to righteousness. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that from the doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became a slave to righteousness. And I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. You are free, but not to do whatever you want. You are free to obedience to righteousness that leads to holiness, not again back into sinfulness. For when you were slaves to sin, you were free in the regards of righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. Don't be fooled. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves to God, you have your fruit to holiness. And in the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal, everlasting life. The truth is, you used to be a slave to sin. You used to be powerless. The truth is, Christ has set you free. Therefore, live as free people. But your freedom is not to do whatever you want. Your freedom is now to follow Him, to do what He wants. Remember when you used to do what you wanted? What did that lead to? Death. Now you're free to do what He wants, and it will lead to everlasting life. Okay, this is the point. In Christ, you used to be slaves, but now you're free. Don't become slaves again. Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave to sin. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." I have to stop here. Step one, know the truth. The devil wants you to believe the lie because he wants you to keep on being here, because this will lead to death. God says, "No, I've set you free. Follow me so that you can have life." Amen. The good news is you are free. Walk in that freedom and follow Jesus. Follow Him. You can. You can. You can. You're free. And when temptation comes or sin knocks at your door, you say, "You know what? I'm dead to sin. I'm alive to Christ. And the life that He lives, I now live. It's no longer I that live, but Christ in me. And I'm going to follow Him because I want to. And this time, I can." Amen. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank You that You've come to set us free, not just of our consequence of the things that we've done, but You've come to set us free from the power of sin once and for all. It is for freedom that You have set us free. And whoever the Son sets free is free indeed. And You said, "It is finished. It is done. It is over once and for all." You are free. And I want to declare this morning, whatever you're captive in is a lie. In Christ, you have been set free. And whatever is in your life that oppresses you, that continues in you, it is illegal. And Father, I want to pray, Father, for those who are still captive today. Lord, you want to set them free today. Because you've already done it 2,000 years ago. And if that is you this morning, if you are still captive, I want you to do something bold. I want you to raise your hand where either or all the eyes are closed. If you're still struggling and you want to be free, just raise your hand. Thank you for those. Just raise it. Don't be afraid. Don't be bold. God is calling you to be free. If you're raising your hand, I want you to do something bold. I want you to come forward. I want you to come forward and receive your freedom. If that is you, come forward now. We're going to pray for you. We're going to break every chain, every lie, everything that keeps you captive. It is a lie of the devil from the pit of hell to deceive you and to rob you from your inheritance, which is freedom. If that is you, come forward. Come forward. Let's just give them a hand, those who do. You can be free. You can be free. Not can be. You are free. You must just receive it. You must just receive it. And you know how you receive your freedom? The same way you receive your forgiveness. It is the same way. The same way you receive your forgiveness is the same way you get your freedom. It is through faith. It is through faith. It's not faith in what Andre says. It's what faith, what God says, what His Word says. He says, my Word is true, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You must just believe it. You must just believe it. Because if you still think you're a slave, if you still believe, if you still doubt the Word, if you still say, no, Andres, I don't believe what you're saying. I think you're still going to struggle with sin for the rest of your life. Well, guess what? What you believe is what will happen in your life. This morning, I'm just presenting you an alternative to that lie. It's not my philosophy or doctrine. It's the Word of God. You're free. And if you believe it, you can walk in it. I'm going to encourage you. Your freedom, don't use it to become a slave again. Use it to be obedient to the will of God. And you will have everlasting life. And you will be free. Let's close our eyes. Father, we want to thank you if the facilitators can help to pray. We're just going to declare freedom over you as you surrender your captivity, as you come before God and you confess to Him. Father, I want to say I'm sorry. I want to say I'm sorry for choosing to be a slave again. Today I choose to be free. Today I choose to embrace what you have given me. I will not go back to where I came from. I will continue to follow you. I will cut away this lies and the enticement. I'm sorry, Father, for turning away from you again, Lord, but today I choose to follow you. I thank you that you have enabled me to do so by your Spirit. I will no longer walk according to the flesh. I will walk according to your Spirit. Lord, I'm going to thank you, for there is no condemnation. There is no condemnation for those who choose to believe, to choose to walk in your Spirit and not in the flesh. But I'm going to thank you, and I want to declare as we pray for these precious people that they are free. You say they are free. You have declared it over them, and we speak it over them. And we say in Jesus' name, you are free. You are free. You are free. You are free. And everything in your life that is not of God, I command in the name of Jesus to leave right now in Jesus' name. All the power of sin, all the hold, all the lies, all the deception, all the demonic, in the name of Jesus, you will leave right now, and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will come and fill your heart and your mind. It will guard your heart and your mind. It will protect you, and the joy of the Lord will become your strength, because you will know that you are free, and who He says is free indeed. Just believe it, walk in it, and you will receive it as you did your forgiveness. As you did your forgiveness, it's just by faith. You don't have to do anything. You must just believe it, and then choose to obey Him. Resist the devil, submit to God, and he will flee from you. He will flee from you. Father, we thank you for that. We're going to continue to worship. We're going to sing one more song. as we minister, and then we're going to dismiss the meeting, and you can leave in freedom in Jesus' name.